Army successfully counters attacks by the Saturday coalition on the strategic city of Herat, inflicting heavy losses on the enemy. Majority of Iranian lawmakers urge the government not to clinch an agreement in Vienna without receiving necessary guarantees. And Britain accuses Russia of planning the biggest war in Europe in decades, while Moscow says the talk of war is provocative and can have adverse consequences. Thanks for joining us. The Yemeni army says it has thwarted an attack by the Saudi-led coalition on the strategic city of Herat, inflicting heavy losses on the enemy. In a tweet, army spokesman Yahya Sari denied allegations that the Saudi-led coalition had taken control of the northwestern city in Hajjah Governorate. The Yemeni army says a mountainous area was also liberated. It says as a result, some 200 Saudi forces and mercenaries were killed, and almost double that number were injured. The army added that over 40 armored and military vehicles were also destroyed, while two spy drones were shot down. The army is confronting the Saudi-led coalition forces and their loyalists on several fronts inside of Yemen. Iranian lawmakers have sent a letter to President Ebrahim Raisi setting out several conditions for an agreement to revive the 2015 deal known as the JCPOA. Some 250 MPs signed the letter. They said the Iranian nation's interests are a red line, calling on the administration to strike no deal without securing necessary guarantees. The lawmakers urged the U.S. and the European parties to the JCPOA to provide guarantees for two issues. They will neither abandon the deal nor trigger the so-called snapback mechanism that could return sanctions on Iran. The U.S. and the Europeans were also urged to remove sanctions imposed under bogus pretexts from nuclear to human rights issues. As for sequencing, the MPs said that the West should implement its commitments first. Iran will only fulfill its side of the bargain after verifying the measures and a green light from Parliament. Iran and the remaining signatories to the 2015 agreement are engaged in intense negotiations aimed at reviving the landmark accord. Now Iran's foreign minister says it is time for the U.S. and the European side to show that they are willing to reach an agreement by making political decisions quickly. Hossein Amir Abdollahian made the comments in a meeting with the EU foreign policy chief, Joseph Borrell, and the EU coordinator in the Vienna talks, Enrique Mora. The Iranian minister said, had it not been for Iran's initiatives, the sides would not be as close to the deal as they are now. But he insisted that Tehran's red lines will be in place. Earlier, in an interview with CNN, Amir Abdollahian said that the West, the U.S. in particular, is responsible for a possible failure of the talks.
Now we are at a very sensitive time, and the other side should be realistic. And if the talks fail, we believe that it is the Americans and the other side that are responsible for it. And the Islamic Republic of Iran has shown its seriousness and has shown that it really wants the deal to be done.
According to the top diplomat, Iran's demands, including a verifiable removal of all sanctions that are inconsistent with the 2015 agreement, as well as the guarantees that it is seeking for the fulfillment of commitments by other parties, are absolutely reasonable. The eighth round of negotiations to restore the deal is underway in Austria's capital, Vienna. We have reached out to political analyst Mustafa Khoshcheshm for his take on the ongoing talks in Vienna on the JCPOA revival.
Even those who were not sure about the real intentions of Washington have now come to agree with this view that the Americans are just looking for a zero-sum game. They just want to win concessions without making any kind of compromise. In the last few days, they've been showing a buyer's remorse, and They are running the table over again and again and again. And this is nothing new, you know. This is kind of a negotiation tactic of the United States. The American administration doesn't have the needed power and the needed flexibility to make a political decision. And by political decision, we mean compromise, gives and takes. And Americans are just very much incapable of making the final decision, or they just pretend to be incapable. So they have been stonewalling the talks in the past 3 or 4 days.
Moscow condemns as provocative Western countries' repeated claims that Russia intends to attack Ukraine. The Kremlin spokesman says predicting dates for invading Ukraine can have adverse consequences. Dmitry Peskov, however, says President Vladimir Putin takes no notice of such allegations. Despite repeated denials by Russia, the U.S. and its NATO allies insist on an imminent invasion of Ukraine. The latest such claim comes from the U.K.
All the signs are that the plan has already, in some senses, begun. That's what our American friends think, and you're seeing these provocations now in Donbass. You're starting to see this these explosions and so on that we've been warning about for a long time. And I'm afraid to say that the plan that we're seeing is for something that could be really the biggest war in Europe since 1945, in terms of sheer scale. We have to use the tools
that we have. Johnson says sanctions on Russia will go much further than previously suggested in case it moves to invade Ukraine. He says that London and Washington will cut off Russian companies' access to U.S. dollars and British pounds if the Kremlin orders an attack. But Germany and Ukraine have pushed back against dire predictions. At a G7 meeting, the German Foreign Minister, Annalena Baerbock, said it is inappropriate to resort to guessing or assuming what will happen. The Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has also said there is no need to panic.
World leaders participated in the 58th Munich Security Conference in Germany, which is held annually. This year's conference was dominated by the Ukraine crisis, as major Western powers accused the Kremlin of zeroing in on an imminent invasion of Ukraine. In the conference, the U.S. Vice President, Kamala Harris, announced that Washington and its allies will impose significant and unprecedented economic costs on Russia if it further invades Ukraine.
We will impose far-reaching financial sanctions and export controls. We will target Russia's financial institutions and key industries.
Harris also added the U.S. will not stop with economic measures, but will further reinforce the eastern flank of NATO. Harris said some 6,000 additional service members are already deployed to Romania, Poland, and Germany. The official also noted that some 8,500 troops in the United States are on high alert. Also, another high-profile attendee in the 2022 Munich Security Conference, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, said Britain could block Russian companies from raising capital in London and has passed legislation to widen sanctions on Russian businesses and individuals if the country invades Ukraine. Johnson also stated that Russia would pay a heavy military price if it invaded Ukraine. Britain has already sent hundreds of troops to Poland to support NATO's eastern flank. However, the chairman of the Munich Security Conference, Wolfgang Eisinger, has highlighted the need for dialogue to resolve the differences. He said our world is in danger, traditional certainties are crumbling, threats and vulnerabilities are multiplying, and the rules-based order is increasingly under attack. He noted that the need for dialogue has never been greater. Meanwhile, Russia has time and again denied any intention to invade its western neighbor. It argues that it's deployed the military near Ukraine's borders to protect itself amid NATO's eastward expansion. Also, in a major step toward de-escalation, last week Moscow withdrew some of its troops near the Ukrainian border after completing military exercises.
Well, the U.S. President Joe Biden has time and again said that Russia could invade Ukraine within days. Biden has warned that in case a war does happen, it will close the window for diplomacy. Washington has even gone as far as stating that Russia may use a false flag attack to create a pretext for invasion. But both Ukraine and Germany toned down the rhetoric at the Munich Security Conference and advised against hyping up the crisis. All this brings into question the U.S. motives for pushing the narrative on a Russian invasion.
Thank you.
The U.S. President Joe Biden has ramped up his rhetoric against Russia amid mounting tension in Eastern Europe. He once again repeated his claim that Washington had intelligence showing his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, has made up his mind to invade Ukraine.
We have reason to believe the Russian forces are planning to and intend to attack Ukraine in the coming week, in the coming days. We believe that they will target Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, a city of 2.8 million innocent people.
Speaking at the White House, Biden warned that war will close the window for diplomacy with Moscow. Biden also said Western countries won't deploy troops in Ukraine, but will continue to bolster their defensive capabilities. Earlier, the White House said Washington and its allies are working on a sanctions package in case of a Russian invasion. This is while Italy says the bans should not target energy imports from Russia. This could throw the EU economy into mayhem or even negatively affect Russia's gas supplies to Europe. The EU is Russia's biggest trade partner. Nearly 38% of Russia's exports went to the EU, while over 36% of Russia's imports came from Europe. Russia is also the origin of 26% of EU's oil imports and 40% of EU's gas imports.
I don't think Russia cares so much and worries so much about Western sanctions, because Russia proved for the years, in spite of Western pressure and different sanctions, capable to sustain and even improving slowly, not so good as before, its economy. So sanctions are not the main threat to Russia.
The U.S. accuses Russia of planning an attack on Ukraine, but Moscow says that is not true. Therefore, the latest warnings, based on unfounded accusations that a Russian invasion of Ukraine is just around the corner, would further complicate the situation at this critical time.
Joint celebrations break out in Bamako, the capital of Mali, over planned withdrawal of French troops. The French President Emmanuel Macron has said that his troops will leave Mali in an orderly fashion over 4 to 6 months. But Mali's ruling junta insists that the pullout needs to happen without delay. Relations between the two countries deteriorated sharply after Mali's army seized power in a coup in 2020. France currently has some 5,000 troops deployed across the Sahel, the majority of them in Mali. Paris says its troops are tasked with fighting militancy in the region, but Mali says that the former colonial power intends to partition the country. Academic and journalist Mustafa Fatouri believes that the French military presence has worsened the security situation in Africa, and it will most likely continue to do so in the future.
I think the security situation in the Sahel region, extending from all the way to in the east to Sudan, is less stable, less secure than it was in 2013, when first France sent its troops to fight what it calls jihadists and terrorist groups. So the whole area has been, I wouldn't say mainly because of the French military intervention, but that was a contributing factor. The whole area has been destabilized much worse than it was. The number of attacks by terrorist groups has increased and has been a trans-border problem, not only in Mali, but we have seen it in Niger, we have seen it in Burkina Faso especially, where there has been a recent military takeover, mainly for this reason of lack of security. So the same problem is existing in Chad in a different form. And then all the way to Sudan, probably the contagion, the effect will continue.
Somalia's energy minister has angered top officials for signing a deal with a U.S. company to explore oil and gas off the country's coast. The Office for President Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed says the agreement is null and void. It has also issued a decree banning any such agreements with foreign governments and entities during the election period. Prime Minister Mohamed Hossein Roble has also dismissed the agreement as illegal and unacceptable. He says that he will do whatever is needed to protect national resources. Somalia is going through an election process that is more than a year overdue. It has also been marred by violence, including a Saturday attack in the central city of Beledweyne that killed 14 people. A close associate of disgraced U.S. billionaire Jeffrey Epstein has been found dead in his Paris prison cell. Jean-Luc Brunel had been charged with the rape of minors and held behind bars for more than a year. He denied those charges. Police are now investigating the cause of his death. The prominent modeling agent was closely linked to Epstein, the American convicted sex offender who was arrested in 2019. And Epstein, too, was found hanged in his New York jail cell while he was awaiting trial over the abuse against underage women. The case has also disgraced the British royal family. Just days ago, Queen Elizabeth's second son, Prince Andrew, settled a lawsuit brought against him by Virginia Roberts Giuffre. The woman claims Andrew abused her when she was a teenager after meeting him through Epstein. Nearly 1 month into Canada's protests against COVID restrictions, police say significant progress has been made in removing protesters from the streets of the capital, Ottawa.
Today we've made some very important progress in safely removing this unlawful protest from our streets. At every step in this operation, we've been upfront and clear with the unlawful protesters that they must leave the area. We've advised them of our enforcement efforts so they could continue to make informed decisions. We've backed up those warnings with a deliberate and methodical operation using lawful and safe tactics. At every step, they faced a barrage.
The official added that police at some point had to use horses, helmets, and batons to secure the safety of officers. Ottawa Police Chief has called on all the protesters remaining on the streets to go home. Earlier in the day, police clashed with protesters in the city, using pepper spray and stun grenades to disperse them. So far, more than 140 people have been arrested and dozens of vehicles seized over the past 2 days. Organizers of the so-called Freedom Convoy say that they have asked truckers to withdraw because of the heavy-handed police tactics. The massive crackdown comes after Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked emergency powers to deal with the protesters. The demonstrations initially started in January by Canadian truckers who are opposed to rules that require unvaccinated cross-border drivers to quarantine. But the protests have now turned into a rallying point for all people who are in some way opposed to the policies of Trudeau's government. In Brazil, search and rescue operations continue as nearly 200 people are still unaccounted for in the wake of devastating floods and landslides. Rescue workers pulled more bodies Saturday from the muddy wreckage and rubble in the city of Petrópolis, where the death toll has risen to 146. Meanwhile, bad weather hampered the search for survivors, and emergency teams had to suspend their work several times. Over 900 people have been housed in schools and shelters. With the search now in its fifth day, authorities say that there is little hope of finding more survivors. Teams of volunteers are also helping with search and rescue efforts. Tuesday's rainfall exceeded the average for the whole of February, triggering landslides and floods in Petrópolis, that is a popular tourist getaway that is north of Rio de Janeiro. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 20th, 2022. I'm Atefa Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views and messages are presented through emails and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Or if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is your program, Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. As you may know, these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an eQSL card from us. That is an electronic QSL card because we are in the time of pandemic and we send our listeners an electronic QSL card. So here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, which I mentioned some of their names here. Bithan Chandra Sunil from India, Bill McDavid from the US, and Heikki Puranin from Finland. Thank you. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, your radio. And of course, many people, many of our listeners around the world have sent us emails, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails. From India, we have an email from Kalol Nath. I wish I'm right in pronouncing this name. And from Argentina, from Southern Hemisphere, we have an email from Nestor D. Fischetto, of course, one of our regular listeners. And from the Northern Hemisphere, from Finland, we have received an email from Heikki Puranen. And the last but not the least in this program, of course, we have an email from Malaysia from Muhammad Fazli, one of our regular listeners. Please stay with us. I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. As I said, we've received an email from Kalol Nath from India. Let's see what Kalol tells us. Dear IRIB, thank you very much for your keen interest on listeners' mails and emails. I do appreciate your attention. I am a shortwave enthusiast and I listen to various nations' radio stations. I'm very much interested to know more about your country and your culture and history. A kind of photo about your architecture and your traditions is welcomed. Salam and warm greetings to you, Kalil Nath from India. And thank you very much for sending us this message. We also do appreciate your attention to IRIB English Radio. Kalil Nath from India. So you prefer listening to shortwave radio? You are a shortwave radio enthusiast and you listen to various nations' radio stations and it's great. Of course, most people prefer listening to shortwave radio, a traditional kind of radio, and it's most favorable between many people around the world and it's great. I do also prefer listening to shortwave radio, a traditional kind of radio. So, if you are interested in the culture and architecture and tradition of Iran, you can listen to various kind of programs about the Iranian culture, traditions, architecture, etc. Through IRIB English Radio. Yes, right now we broadcast a program called Close Up Iran, which introduces Iran's tourist attractions. And I think it is aired on Mondays. You can find the exact time on our website with the address of www.parstoday.com/en. And you can also find the archive of different programs about Iran in this website, including Iranian notable sources of global honor, Iranian family, Iranian cinema, many different programs about the Iranian traditions, culture, and architecture. Kalil Nath from India, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Thank you very much for writing to your radio, IRIB English Radio. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, Kalil from India. And here we've received such a long email from Argentina. This email is from Nestor Di Fischetto. Let's see what Nestor says. Thank you very much for answering my email. I'm really very happy to receive your EQSL. It is a highly valued confirmation for my collection. Regarding the coronavirus pandemic in Argentina, here, we are going through a third wave, in this case, due to the Omicron variant. In total, we have been detecting cases for almost 2 years, with a total of approximately 8 million infections and 120,000 deaths. The third wave, although it is much more contagious, is not proving as lethal, also in part due to the progress of the vaccination campaign. 76% of the population have already received their second dose, and the booster dose is already being implemented in 25% of the people. We also continue with the usual care of the use of face masks and avoid crowds of people, although this is difficult to achieve in a country like Argentina, where we are used to gatherings of people at sports and entertainment events. In particular, my son, my wife, and I were isolated until last week for testing positive for COVID-19. We had fever, cough, and dizziness that lasted a week, but now we are very well. I hope that you in Iran are handling this pandemic in the best possible way. It is a situation that had great drama throughout the world and that we are learning to cope with. Best regards from Argentina. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Nestor Di Fischetto from Argentina. Actually, we're so sorry that you tested positive for coronavirus. Actually, you, your wife, and your son, you said, we're sorry and thank God you're getting well. And thank God you're okay and well right now. Please observe the protocols, using face masks, being isolated, avoid gatherings and crowds, and of course different kinds of protocols that have been observed in different countries around the world. And we hope that this virus comes to an end soon around the world. There is a question here. Are you vaccinated? Have you received the booster dose of vaccine? Please tell us if you've received it. So, Vivish, that this pandemic comes to an end very soon, not just in your country, Argentina, but also in different countries around the world. And regarding your question about the pandemic in my country, in Iran, for your information, in Iran, the majority of the people have been vaccinated and the majority of people have received the booster dose, that is the third dose. And everything is okay, almost okay in Iran regarding this virus. And my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. And that's all. Please take care of yourself, Nestor Difficiato from Argentina in the time of pandemic. And send our greetings to your wife and your son. Write to us soon, Nestor. We are, of course, looking forward to hearing from you soon. And don't forget to tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs in your upcoming email. So, after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Stay with us. Welcome back from Finland, from one of the coldest, actually, regions of the world in Northern Hemisphere. We've received an email from Heikki Puranin. Let's see what Heikki says. Dear friends, thank you for the verification you sent me recently via email. I enjoy your programs. I wish I could understand your language, Farsi, so that I could enjoy the Farsi programs of IRIB as well. Best regards. Salam and warm greetings to you in this cold winter. This salam and greeting is from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Heikki Puranin from Finland. We're so glad that you wrote to us. And of course, you said you enjoyed the programs, and that's great. It's a pleasure. We hope, of course, because you mentioned you like to understand Farsi language, so we hope that you learn it, Farsi language, and then you can enjoy this sweet language. I think Farsi is a very sweet and great language. Then you can enjoy this great language and enjoy it, and then you can listen to Farsi programs of IRIB, Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. Heikki Puranin from Finland, thank you very much for writing to us, and thank you for telling us and letting us know what you think about IRIB English radio programs and telling us your favorite language, Farsi. So, Heikki Puranin from Finland, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Malaysia, from Muhammad Fadli. Welcome back. Let's see what Muhammad Fadli from Malaysia, one of our regular listeners, says. So, here's the story. Dear sir and madam, assalamu alaikum and greetings. I have been following IRIB English radio for a couple of years via shortwave broadcast from my location in Malaysia. But last year, due to the changing of my work shift, I couldn't enjoy regular programs via shortwave. This year, I tried to get some time to listen via shortwave broadcast, but to no avail, I received no reception at all. I waited for weeks for improvement, but there's still no reception of IRIB English radio at this frequency. Meanwhile, at my location and that time, that is 7300 kilohertz, is strongly occupied by China National Radio. I believe this 7300 kilohertz frequency is not suitable for reception of IRI Binglish radio in my region. As far as I know, the change of frequency of season is coming soon. I hope your radio technician or whoever is responsible for the transmission can take notice to avoid any interference with other broadcasters and to improve the quality of radio broadcast. I am eager to listen to IRI Binglish radio on shortwave again in my region. For now, I have to use web HDR to enjoy IRI Binglish radio, which is beamed toward Europe. I also listen to IRI Binglish radio via podcast on Pars Today website. As you know, both methods require internet connection. I believe other listeners might not have the privilege of a stable internet connection as I did. I hope IRI Binglish Radio can stay as long as possible because you have a lot of unique programs such as Communique and Subcontinent, which offer different and unheard issues of the current event. That's all from me now. I wish the IRIB team and Iranians are in good health. Salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Fazli from Malaysia, and many thanks for writing this email to us and telling us your troubles with listening to shortwave in your region, because you said you changed your work shift and in your new place in the new region you can't enjoy the regular programs of IRIB English Radio, and that's a pity. Of course, we will inform our engineers and technicians about this trouble, and then you can enjoy the IRIB English radio programs. But for the time being, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And it has also the live, of course, it has the live coverage of the events, and it has the live broadcast of IRIB English Radio. You can enjoy it for the time being through our website. But of course, my colleagues, our radios, technicians and engineers will fix the problems, and then you can enjoy the programs as usual on the shortwave. Muhammad Fazli from Malaysia again, thank you very much for telling us these troubles. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Tell us in your upcoming emails, tell us if your problem is fixed. Thank you, Muhammad Fazli from Malaysia. Stay with us. Now, what can I wish for you? The best thing I can wish for our listeners around the world is being in good health. Thank you for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio, and in particular, the listeners special, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
Palestinians were shocked recently by a brazen midday Zionist regime military assault that employed tactics not seen in the West Bank in over 15 years. Stay with us for an article in this regard, written jointly by Jess Rosenfeld, Oren Zif, Ahmad Al-Baz, writers. This article is published under the heading "The Zionist Regime Revives Assassination Tactics Not Seen for 15 Years in the West Bank." Stay tuned for more. Palestinians were shocked recently by a brazen midday Zionist regime military assault that employed tactics not seen in the West Bank in over 15 years. Human rights advocates said the Zionist regime killings of three Palestinian men constituted brutal and coordinated assassinations. The Zionist regime forces claimed that the killings carried out by the Border Police National Counterterrorism Unit, known colloquially as Yamam, were intended as an arrest raid and that the officers fired in self-defense. A joint intercept local call and Plus 972 magazine investigation, however, points to a planned assassination in an area under Palestinian Authority control, a widely condemned tactic. For Shawan Jabarin, the general director of Al-Haq, a West Bank-based Palestinian human rights group, the killings amount to war crimes. Al-Haq collected witness testimonials from the scene of the Nablus shooting. Jabarin said it's an extrajudicial execution. He said his group had found no evidence that the Palestinian men ever fired or attempt to fire a shot. The killings conjured bitter memories of the extrajudicial assassinations that marked the darkest days of the Second Intifada, the Palestinian uprising of 2000 to 2005, and the attendant Zionist reprisals. Across Palestinian society, a level of outrage not seen in recent months spared a one-day general strike and checkpoint riots across the West Bank. The families of those killed said the carnage was horrific realization of threats made against them in recent months by the Zionist regime's internal security service, the Shin Bet. Raed Ad-Dakhil, 51, Muhammad Ad-Dakhil's father, recalled during his son's funeral that one Shin Bet officer had called the family over a dozen times, issuing threats that culminated in a promise that Muhammad would be executed. Dakhil said the last call was 2 months ago. He said, "They would send the Yamam unit to assassinate my son." The Shin Bet did not reply to requests for comment about its phone calls to family members of the fighters. Adham Mabruka's brother Ahmad described a similar experience of escalating threats from Shin Bet in the run-up to the killing. He said of the Zionist regime forces, "When I met them face-to-face, they threatened to harm the family and raid our house." By the last of what Ahmad Mabruka said were at least 11 phone calls. A Shin Bet officer said that Adham would be executed. Recalled Mabruka, "They said if he didn't hand himself over, it would get to the level of assassination," and mentioned the Yamam unit. "I realized he was going to die, but not in that way. He had 35 bullets in his body." A video witnessed testimonies and evidence collected by the Intercept local call and plus 972 at the scene all point to an attack by the Zionist regime forces against the carload of Palestinians. The video released recently shows a yellow Palestinian taxi on a hillside road cutting off the fighters in their silver Fiat. Another Palestinian-plated van carrying Zionist officers then swings around behind the Fiat to prevent the driver from reversing. A barrage of bullets from the taxi's direction then destroys the Fiat's windshield. After about 10 seconds, the Zionist regime forces exit from the van and from the taxi. Some of the officers open fire at the driver's side of the Fiat and others stand guard behind them. Both vehicles carrying Israeli regime security forces came down a hill that intersected with the road where the attack was launched. On the scene, bullet holes pockmarking the apartment building doors on the far side of the road and signposts down the street all appeared to come from the Zionist regime positions, the locations of the Israelis' vehicles, and where the officers stood around them. There are no apparent bullet holes or fragments next to or behind the border police officers' locations in the video, and no shell casings from around where the Fiat had been, indicating that the Zionist regime forces were not fired upon. Spokesperson for the Zionist regime's border police confirmed that no shots were ever fired toward Israeli forces, but said that Palestinians were armed with loaded guns and about to open fire. According to two witnesses who declined to be identified due to fear of reprisal, it all started with a long burst of steady and consistent gunfire. "I returned home from work. I heard gunshots, not one or two separate shots," said a man who lives by the scene of the attack. He described a strong and continuous blast of automatic gunfire, adding, "I told my wife and my children not to go out and do not come near the windows." A woman whose apartment overlooks the scene of the killing said, "I heard the shots and went to the window to see what happened. I was very frightened. The car was riddled with bullets." We'll be right back. The testimonies collected by Al-Haq include one from an eyewitness who saw the assault from beginning to end. The account corroborates what appears to be happening in the video. They describe Israeli officers opening fire on the Fiat from the taxi's open door before even leaving the vehicle. The Zionist regime officers then got out and kept firing live rounds at the car in a second blast of gunfire. While the 92-second video stops before the officers approach the Fiat, Al-Haq's witnesses said the Israelis then opened the door and shot inside to confirm the kills. During the Second Intifada, when Palestinians launched an armed uprising against the occupation, the Zionist regime forces regularly carried out assassinations throughout the West Bank and Gaza.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat, or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 3, 2016, by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the occasion of 27th anniversary of Imam Khomeini's passing. The speech was delivered at Imam Khomeini's shrine in Tehran, Iran.
The youth are revolutionaries, and they can remain revolutionaries with the criteria and standards that I will refer to later on. Today's youth can be revolutionaries that are more steadfast than the likes of our veterans. During the sacred defense era, we saw some individuals who offered their lives on the path of this revolution. They joined the front lines and laid down their lives on the path of implementing Imam's edict. It is they who are 100% revolution individuals. Revolutionaries are those who are prepared to sacrifice themselves. Therefore, we should not confine revolutionaries to those individuals who stayed with Imam during the time of revolutionary activities and those who knew him. This should not be the case. The revolution is like a flowing river. All those who have lived throughout history with these characteristics and who make efforts on this path are revolutionaries. Although they might not have seen Imam Rahmatullah Ali, you youth are an example of such individuals.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
It is also wrong to think that when we say that such a person is a revolutionary, this means that they are an extremist. Or when we want to refer to revolutionaries, we use the term extremist. This is wrong. Being a revolutionary does not mean being extremist. These dual words, which are the foreigners' prompts and claims made by the enemies of Iran, should not have a place in Iran or in our political culture. They divide the people into extremists and conservatives. We do not have such categories as extremism and conservatism. They refer to revolutionaries as extremists, and they refer to non-revolutionaries as conservatives. This is a foreign dualism. They repeat such things on their radio channels, in their propaganda, and in their speeches, but we should not repeat them. A revolutionary is a revolutionary. It is also wrong to expect all those who are revolutionaries to act in a specific revolutionary manner or to expect them to show a particular degree of revolutionary behavior. This is not what we should expect.
I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.